Welcome to Strength for Today's Pastor, conversations with current senior pastors and leaders which will strengthen and help you in your pastoral ministry. And now, here's your host, Bill Holdridge of Poimen Ministries.
Welcome to Podcast 153. So today it's a blessing and a real honor to welcome Tom Rayner. Our subject will be church revitalization, a subject that I believe Dr. Rayner is an expert on. Tom Rayner is a pastor, a president, former president and CEO of Lifeway Christian Resources. Prior to that, he served at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary for 12 years, and he became the founding dean of the Billy Graham School of Missions and Evangelism. Currently, he's serving as the founder and CEO of Church Answers, a huge, effective resource for training, equipping, and revitalizing churches and ministers. So, Tom, I just want to thank you for joining us today and being willing to be part of this discussion.
Well, thank you, Bill, and thank you for the ministry that you have and those who are part of your team. I know y'all are doing a great job for the kingdom, in particular in the area of revitalization, so it's good to be here.
All right. So a while back, I read an article you wrote called Three Types of Church Revitalization. And when I read that article, it really helped me and our team better understand what we do. We had previously had the mission statement, strengthening pastors to strengthen churches. But since then, we've realized that really our heart is for church revitalization. And that's why we went directly to the senior pastor to help them. But in that article, you wrote that over 300,000 churches in America need significant revitalization. So starting off, what do you think that number is today? Is the church on an upswing? Is the church continuing to decline?
You know, Bill, I don't remember that article. I don't actually remember that article, but I hope I did a good job on it. But if that article was written pre-COVID, there would be significant changes. If it's been written post-COVID, it would not be that significant changes. Let's look at the data just a moment. Most of the statisticians who look at churches say there are 350,000 in the U.S. alone. We know that there are at least 400,000 because there are a number of churches without websites, telephone numbers. And so the numbers are around 400,000. That's close enough. Of that 400,000, we are fairly confident in saying that 300 to 350,000 need some type of serious revitalization. And when we say serious revitalization, let me just give you an example. I am speaking to a church today, tonight, presenting them our consultation findings, a church in Louisiana. And we look at different ways of, okay, here's the health of your church and what do you need to do? One of the things that we do infrequently is we say close the doors. And even if you do close the doors, we say let's find another church that can use this for gospel purposes. We're not doing that with this church, but what we are doing is that we're saying that this church is in serious need of revitalization. And once we start looking at how deep it is, what we're going to do with that church is we're going to focus on one area. And basically, they haven't been reaching people with the gospel. We could focus on fellowship, discipleship. We could focus on worship. We could focus on facility. But this church will likely not be a church 2 years from now unless they really start reaching people. And we don't want them to reach people for the gospel just for the survival of a church. We think every church should be reaching people for the gospel. And we will remind them, when Jesus started his earthly ministry, he called his first disciples and he says, come with me and what? I will make you fishers of men, or I'll make you fishers of people. So his ministry began with the call to follow him and to make fishers or evangelism. How did his earthly ministry end? Acts 1:8. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. In other words, it began with evangelism and it ended with evangelism. So we could do the same thing by looking at the example of the early church in Acts 2, and we could see how the Jerusalem church emphasized reaching. That does not diminish the importance of any of the other elements of what a church does. But many of the revitalizations that are taking place are just simple, and at least theoretically simple, in that there's no outward focus. There's no attempt to reach people with the gospel. And we say that somewhere between 350,000 and 360,000 churches today.
So in that article, which you can't remember writing, that's
I'm sorry.
Well, you write so much. But it uses the story that's written in the prophecy of Haggai as a reference point. And so in a real sense, Israel was in great need of revitalization. The temple was still in relative ruins, and they were living in their paneled houses and all of those kinds of things. Their priorities were messed up.
Right.
So maybe you could review that story and how you see that as tying into the whole revitalization concept and what this church that in Louisiana is going to need to do to be effective tonight.
Well, Haggai is one of the only two chapter book of the Old Testament, and it's a phenomenal minor prophet book. I don't like to put the adjective minor before it because that may indicate not just length but also insignificance. But this is an incredible story. These two chapters, and the full of chapter one is about rebuilding the house of God, and that is what happens in revitalization, not temples. Not at a specific location. We know that God through his spirit is omnipresent, but rebuilding the house of God, what happened to the temple? So God had given those who were the ragtag remnant the opportunity to go back to Jerusalem. He used a pagan king of Persia to allow it to take place, but they go back into Jerusalem, and of course the walls are down, the place is in ruins, and the house of God no longer exist. So they start building the foundation. God said, rebuild my house. They start building the foundation. A decade lapses, and they have done nothing beyond that. They've gone an entire 10 years without doing anything to rebuild the house of God. What does he tell them in Haggai 1:8? Therefore, go. It's just like Acts 1:8. Haggai 1:8 says, go. This time, go up into the mountains, get the lumber, get the timber, and rebuild my house. So the command to rebuild the house of God in Haggai 1:8 is very similar to the Acts 1:8 command for us, that we are to go, we're to be going. And Bill, that's quite frankly, it sounds oversimplified, but it's the reality. Many churches are not thriving and growing because they are not trying to grow. They're not trying to reach people with the gospel, not numbers for numbers' sake, but people for the gospel's sake. And that's what we're seeing quite often in many of these churches. And so the church tonight, I'll be telling them, there's so many things that we can look at, but I want to work with you for the next 6, maybe 12 months, focusing upon reaching those where God has placed you in this community in an Esther-like fashion for such a time as this. So that's a long answer to a short question, but you got me into Haggai 1. I ended up doing a little bit more than I should have.
No, that's perfect, because what you're talking about is the Great Commission. I mean, that is the vision of the church, as I understand it, is the Great Commission. And if we fail at that, then, you know, that's the bottom line. So in that article, absolutely, you wrote, like the rebuilding of the temple, there are two foundational issues that must be addressed in church revitalization. First, the church must have the right leaders on board. Second, the behavioral patterns of the church members must change. No infusion of methodologies or innovations can take place until these two issues are addressed. Such is the reason most revitalizations fail and only a few succeed. Let's look at three approaches. And then you go into three approaches. But those two things really struck me. They were key points that was obvious in the text, but I hadn't thought of it in terms of church revitalization. Maybe you could comment.
Well, in Haggai 1:1, the first thing that we see is God addressing three leaders. He's addressing a political leader, a priestly leader, and a prophetic leader. Those three leaders are not there coincidentally. God is saying, if we're going to rebuild our house, my house, if we're going to rebuild my house, we must begin with those who will be leading the people. And so the first thing God does in Haggai 1:1 is he says, address this too. And then he gives the three and the three offices, which means it's comprehensive leadership, prophetic, priestly, political leaders. And then he goes to the people and he says, these people say it is not time to build my house. You have to take that in a credulous tone. God is saying, are they really saying that? Rhetorical question. Do they really mean that they don't think it's a good time to build the house of God? Now is the time to rebuild the house of God. Why weren't they rebuilding the house? because they were dwelling in their own panel houses, which means they were comfortable. They were taking that which should have been used for God's house, used it for comfort in their house. And quite frankly, in many of our churches are not driven by a purpose of a great commission. They're driven by a preference of church members. And so it has to change that the leaders have to lead and the people have to start putting God and others and the world before themselves.
It makes me think of this trend of growing churches. So much of it has to do with transfer growth, some of which is healthy growth, which is needed, some of which isn't,
right.
You know? And if it's not somehow connected to evangelism, then it's not going to have any sustainability. I think that's what I'm hearing you say. I love the fact, you know, the political leader, the prophetic leader, and the priestly leader, that's our Jesus, prophet, priest, and king. And
yes,
what a beautiful picture that is.
Absolutely.
So it seems to me, Tom, that unless leaders are honest about their current condition, seriously honest, and have the ability to do some healthy introspection, and they're willing to take a deep and honest dive into their own hearts, into their own practices, revitalization isn't going to happen.
You're talking about addressing reality and making certain that we understand what the real situation is. I know that you deal largely with one group of churches. Historically, I have dealt a good bit of my ministry with Southern Baptist churches. Church Answers has far more denominations and non-denominations than Southern Baptists. But you introduced me as being the former president of Lifeway, which is a Southern Baptist organization. So I feel very comfortable talking about them as an example, not as the totality of the church in any one place, but as an example. Southern Baptist at its peak had 16 million members. They're now below 14 million. At its peak, they were headed for 500,000 conversions or baptisms a year. Now they're way below 200,000. And one thing that I see missing in a lot of Southern Baptist life today, and again, I'm not trying to make Southern Baptist the focus. I might use an example. One of the things I see missing is an awareness that we are not reaching people with the gospel now. We have to admit reality before we can seek a solution. You don't go to a physician unless you admit that you are sick or that you need help. And so that is one of the big things that is missing in revitalization today. But let me say this, COVID accelerated and exacerbated trends that are already going on. And so that has created a new awareness that did not exist because it was sudden instead of gradual, which can be a blessing because if it's gradual, you don't notice it week by week.
Wow. So lack of evangelism, lack of Great Commission vision, that's a pandemic in and of itself, really.
It is.
But so just thinking about that, what are you going to recommend to this church tonight? I know it's going to unfold over 6 to 12 months. But I know you've got a webinar coming up on this subject of, from Church Answers. Maybe you could plug that a little bit because I just think we need some ideas. I mean, we need to be shaken out of our present state of lethargy and into a whole new way of approaching being Christians.
I use a phrase that I often have to explain. It's two words, and it's outward focus. By outward focus, I mean that you're looking beyond the walls of the church. And I always am clear, we need to take care of the ministry to our members. We need to disciple our members. That is not an exclusion of that, but it is a new focus beyond the walls of the church that we call an outward focus. In this particular church, which you're right, it kind of aligns with the webinar that we'll have at the time of this recording the next week. So I'm not sure exactly how I'll line up on your calendar, It's the whole situation of we have got to do with this church basically triage. We could do a lot of things. They've got some facility considerations. They've got some leadership issues, particularly among the lay level. There are a lot of paths we could go. They don't have any type of intentional discipleship taking place. But here's the reality. All of those are going to be a moot point in 18 to 24 months unless the triage of an outward focus is done, which is basically we're going to point them into an evangelistic renewal. Now, when you work with a church, you cannot just say, okay, have an outward focus. You have to have specificity and concrete examples. And when I do that, Bill, I'm always hesitant to do so because I don't want to suggest that a plan or a program or a resource is the answer. I simply want to say this is an answer so you'll get an idea of what to do. So what are we going to do with this church? We are going to recommend that they go through a 30-day process immediately that we call the Hope Initiative. The Hope Initiative is a 30-day kickstart to get our culture thinking beyond the walls. Every day for 30 days, you are praying for opportunities to share the gospel. You are one of the days you actually go into your neighborhood and walk by homes and pray for them. Everything that you do for 30 days is about reaching people beyond the walls of the church. We've been doing this for several months now with churches, and we're seeing phenomenal results. Mm-hmm. I mean, phenomenal results. And what that means is God's spirit is in this. Mm-hmm. And why is God's spirit in it? I don't want to presume upon him, but I will just simply say these 30 days are infused with prayer and evangelism. Prayer and evangelism, often separated. They're just so we're going to jumpstart them for 30 days to do that. Then we bring in another idea. And then what else are we going to do with that? We're going to say, all right, that's days 1 through 30. Days 30 through 60, we have some other plans, but days 60 through 90, we're going to take you through it again. And maybe there will be some new people that are in here. My point is this. We're taking them through a 12-month plan where for 9 of those months, they are specifically doing something evangelistic. For another pragmatic example, again, a resource is not panacea, it's not an answer to everything, but we take them through another resource called Invite Your One. And we say, okay, with Easter coming up in 2024, we want you to invite as many people as possible, and we'll tell you how to do it. And many church members have never invited someone to church specifically. They may have had a general invitation, but they've never done that. And that becomes revolutionary, even as simple as it may sound. My point on this is that for 9 of the 12 months, we are doing something to re-engage them through their mind, their hearts, and their actions on reaching beyond the walls of the church. That, to me, has had been much more effective than saying, here's our checklist of things to do to make your building nicer or whatever. We will get into that, by the way, but only in the context of the Great Commission when we talk about it. So, and just to give you one more example, for their facility, this particular church has one guest parking spot. That means they're not expecting anyone.
Wow.
One guest parking. So, you know, we say, look, guest parking is not going to make your church healthy. But what you've made a statement that you don't expect people to come when you only have one guest parking. So it's all about this triage of moving the church to an outward focus.
So the 30 days, it basically awakens them to the need in their community and maybe gives them ideas on what they can do. And I love the fact that you're not trying to get specific with them. You're engaging them. They have to be part of the process of deciding how they're going to reach their community, but you're providing the impetus. You're pushing them because they want to be pushed in that direction.
And exactly.
It just seems like that's what's going on. I mean, Jesus told the disciples, lift up your eyes, look on the fields, they're whitened to harvest. You know, they're at Samaria. And they saw something they hadn't seen before, that there was a harvest of Samaritans coming in their direction. So let's go for it. Let's do it.
And remember, Jesus said in more than one gospel, I'm thinking specifically Matthew, that he didn't say that we got to pray that there will be some people that we can reach. He said the fields are widened to harvest. Therefore, pray for laborers to go into the fields.
Yeah.
The field is there. We have this idea that in this post-Christian culture that we can't reach anybody. That's quite the contrary. Yeah. God's spirit is still working mightily like he did in first century Greco-Roman culture. He is doing so even in our culture today. The opportunities are abundant. We just have to be obedient.
Amen. Totally agree. So, you know, there's so much that could be said about this, Tom. What kind of, you've got so many resources. If somebody wanted to plug into your resources, and maybe this doesn't get published until after the webinar, but where would you point them to get started with getting some of this kind of impetus going in their church?
I am excited about our resource called the Hope Initiative. And you can go to churchanswers.com and you'll see it there, or you can go hopeinitiative.com. We did not create the Hope Initiative. We found out from churches what they were doing to turn their culture around, and we then got the best of it and are sharing it with other churches right now. So we take no credit for it. We found out what God was doing, and we were trying to get that message out. There are a lot of resources at churchanswers.com. I don't want to plug the company and all our resources too much, but right now we currently have 377 churches as of today that have told us that they have engaged the Hope Initiative, and it is positively changing their church. Oh. There are a lot of others, but 377 right now, where it's just positively changing their church.
That's exciting. That's really good. Well, we're kind of moving into running out of time here, so I want to give you a chance, Tom, to do what we call the 2-minute drill. And that's just, you're speaking to the hearts of pastors and significant leaders in churches right now, and you're going to just share them with them what's important about church revitalization, whatever's on your heart. So go for it.
I would say to these pastors and other church leaders that do not look to the left or the right. Only look up for the answers that you need. Let it begin in your heart. In other words, you'll have church members who will frustrate you. You'll have peers who will frustrate you. Look to your heart. Be an example. Remember Haggai 1:1, God began with the leaders, and God wants to begin with you. Secondly, not only let it begin with you, but have great hope. The God of all hope, the God of all possibilities, is not done with you. He is not done with your church. We are seeing it happen even in the direst of circumstances. Have hope. And then the third thing I would say is just be obedient. I don't want to Nike it and say just do it, but just be obedient and find out what God does when he rewards that, when he rewards his obedience to his commands. The Great Commission is for everyone today, and revitalization is taking place in many churches, but it is not taking place until we are obedient to his command to go. And that's where it needs to begin. So those three words to it, just be the leader, be the example. Secondly, have hope. Third, do it yourself.
Mm. Yeah, I've seen kind of what you're talking about happen with some of the churches. Not that we have worked with them and they've come to this conclusion. It's not because we've worked with them. They just came up with it by the Spirit. But working in very leftist leaning communities, for example, mm-hmm. that are extremely postmodern in their worldview, and then working in other situations that are rural where there's a bunch of farmers and all these things. But the key component is the leader decided something's got to change, and they became part of this Hope Initiative. Without using, the Hope Initiative.
what a great phrase, though.
Yeah, it is. So, is a book forthcoming on the Hope Initiative? It sounds like
the book is out. It's the tool. Okay. It is the primary. We have an instruction resource, and then the book is the primary tool for the participants. It's called Pray and Go.
Pray and Go. Okay, good. I didn't have that in my list for the show notes, so I'll include that. I appreciate it. Thanks so much, Tom, for joining us. I really appreciate it and love what you're doing, and keep it up. I mean, we're probably around the same age, and I know you have a passion to finish well, and so do I, but you're finishing well on a grand scale, and I appreciate it. I really do.
Thanks, Bill. My joy to be with you.
Okay. God bless you. Well, like we said, there is going to be included in the show notes a lot of resources that are connected to Tom Rainer, his podcasts. He's a prolific podcaster as well as author, 40 plus books and counting. And then, of course, there's churchanswers.com. And the Hope Initiative, I love it. Pray and Go, the name of the new book. May the Lord use this to encourage and strengthen pastors and their leadership teams to go for it. And let's become the church that obeys the commands of Jesus to go and tell the world and make disciples. Thank you so much, Tom. It's great being with you.
Thanks, Bill.
You've been listening to Strength for Today's Pastor, and we are an outreach of Poimen Ministries. Poimen Ministries is a group of retired pastors who are interested very much in this idea of church revitalization. And we are indebted to Tom Rayner for joining us today, and also all of the resources that God has made available to us to be able to do what we do well. So if we can help you, if we can strengthen you so that your church would become vital or revitalized, then please reach out to us, and the announcer will give you all the details right away. And God bless you.
Strength for Today's Pastor is sponsored by Pointman Ministries. You can find us at pointmenministries.com. That's spelled P-O-I-M-E-N, ministries.com. If something in today's program prompts a question or comment, or if you have a topic idea for a future episode, just shoot us an email at strongerpastors@gmail.com. That's strongerpastors@gmail.com. May the Lord bless you as you serve Him, His pastors, and His church.